do, I don't do no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. For the Lord's made a change in me.
Hello, this is Melissa. It is Real History on the 14th of November, 2024, and I am with Neil Foster today. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, keeping busy.
Yeah? How did your shows, you said recently on your walk
and talk? Yeah, I did two this weekend. That was good. The first day I made over $300, and the second day just over 120 or something.
That's good.
Yeah, it's picking up a bit. People are starting to take my card away, and people are coming and saying, oh, my friend told me about this and that. So, yeah, it's good. I'll send you some more sample photos because I've done different stuff now.
Okay, you sent me two about a week ago that were really nice, but do please send more. And then you said in a message to me that you are starting your seasonal job.
Yeah, Friday.
Okay, Friday.
Yeah, I just got that confirmed yesterday. They're not very good. They just, I did the orientation the week before. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, when I went in for orientation, they just said to me, Neil, your package is over there. Off you go, get on the road. But now you have to go in for an hour and do this thing. And then they say, oh, we'll give you a call when you're starting. I said, well, what good's that to me? I've got things to do. You know, I don't know when I'm starting. So I've been there long enough that they tell me now. So that's
good.
So yeah, Friday. Strange way to start, but there you go.
Yeah, for people who aren't up to speed on this, Neil drives seasonally, which is over what they call the Christmas holiday, which is kind of long. I'm surprised they don't have you starting at, October with the...
Well, they used to, but then they got the Teamsters Union decided they couldn't be having us because we were taking work off their drivers.
Okay.
Which was rubbish because most of the drivers were begging for help.
So this is UPS.
Yeah.
And
well, their drivers get up to $50 an hour, and that's not enough for them.
Goodness.
Yeah. We were stealing the work, apparently, because we were cheaper, which is just nonsense.
Mm. Well, that'll be good. So yep. Let's see. You had a tragedy in the hen's house.
Yeah. Well, we've got... I've mentioned before, we have stupid people here who feed alligators.
Yeah.
You go around the fishing dock and there's a big alligator waiting for you to get in your kayak. We have stupid people around here who feed raccoons. Mm-hmm. And the raccoon got in one night and they're very clever raccoons that climbed up the ladder, opened the latch on the chicken box and ran off with three of them.
Mm.
So, yeah. Well, I don't think it was just the one raccoon. It brought the family, I think.
Oh, that's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah. So I've had to do a bit of work on the coop and keep them out. I went up this morning and there was two cats sitting outside it.
Uh-huh.
The hens are all cooped up, but two cats sitting there.
Goodness.
So I don't know. Maybe one of the cats got a taste for them as well. I don't know.
Oh, dear. So, have you replaced the loss yet?
No, I'm going to wait until after I finish my seasonal work.
Okay.
So, you've got to go through some kind of process to introduce new chicks to the coop, so I'll need to look into that.
Okay, all right.
I'll get another year four.
How was Paulo with the loss?
Got upset, as usual.
Yeah.
But there you go, that happens.
All right. So the one thing, we'll get to this, I'm sure, but let's just get to it straight away, is that Neil and Paul from Angry North have a new song that they did earlier this month, I guess a couple of weeks ago, entitled We Love Eugenics. And it's an interesting spelling there, Y-O-U-genics. And
well, they always tell us they love us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. That was the play on words. That was the purpose for that.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you. We're going to look after you by killing most of you off. So you have few plebs that are left of a better life. Yeah.
So how was that process of working on that song?
It took a while. Paul's been in the middle of house moving stuff and everything, so he's all over the place for that. It was quite long because just life getting in the way kind of thing. I did the lyrics. I can't remember. I think I did a couple of chords and Paul took it from there. So I did the lyrics, I did the singing, and Paul did most of the work.
Okay.
As usual. Yeah. So, yeah, it's back and forth. It's back and forth. And I say with the time difference, it makes it a bit harder because you only get a few hours in a day you can kind of talk to each other.
Right.
But yeah, it worked. It worked.
The pill and the needle. We say it's safe and we inject. And you believe this to protect. With genetic modification, we sterilize every nation. We poison water and food. And we destroy your fortitude. What we do to you, you can't believe it's true. Let's let evil does exist, but it's futile to resist. Because we love genetics, we love to use eugenics to code you, use the future to pointless human breeding.
We love eugenics! We love eugenics! We love eugenics! We love eugenics! 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 Eugenics!
And we heavily spray your skies, but you don't believe your own eyes. We use chemical castration to cure fake overpopulation. We created androgyny to prevent your excess progeny. And we openly sterilize with your reproductive health as our disguise. What we do to you, you can't believe is true. Exotino does exist, but it's futile to resist. Because we love genetics, we love to use eugenics to cull you, use the future to pointless human beings.
We love eugenics! We love eugenics! We love eugenics! We love eugenics, 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 eugenics.
We love eugenics. It's in our genetics. And we have no ethics to tolerate.
We love eugenics. We love eugenics. We love eugenics. We love eugenics. 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 We love eugenics. We love eugenics. We love eugenics.
Okay. Well, how would you describe the song?
What, in genre?
Yes.
I'm not really sure.
It's kind of, I don't know that there is a genre, but it's kind of one of those songs that you can chant, you know?
Yeah.
It's got
a chanty bit in it, yeah.
Yeah, it's got
and a... I like what he did with the video, having the actual eugenicists actually saying the words.
Yes. Yeah. So it's good.
The original video, there was a lot more stuff in there. It was very, very graphic to do with surgery on these poor children. They get butchered by these so-called transgender doctors. But he changed the actual footage to the animated version.
You know, speaking of that, I have not stumbled on, fortunately, because that would be a very hard thing to see, but any of the surgery footage
on
children.
That's the only clips I saw because I didn't want to look at it either.
Yeah. Oh, it's just awful. I was looking for something to illustrate a talk a couple of months back, and you know how YouTube is always, well, I should say the YT, you know, them, they're always giving me a hard time on things, and sometimes I have to edit to the point where a video is no longer even recognizable to me. It's just a total butcher job. Speaking of butchering, and so, you know, it's like, no, you can't do this. You can't show that. No, this is too violent, blah, blah, blah. And I just accidentally stumbled on a doctor in L.A., a female, young woman, showing you as she was performing a surgery what she was doing. And this was a gender reassignment surgery. And Neil, I had no idea, so I sat there and watched it, and they made the first incision, and I thought, well, this is kind of grisly. I don't know about that, but
it's a Hammer House of Horrors.
Yes.
You know, we're in kind of Edgar Allan Poe territory.
It's shocking, and I don't want to advertise this, but I did a little bit of looking around, and I can't actually watch the videos. But what I discovered for myself is that you can find countless videos of the actual gender reassignment surgery. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking, it's grisly, and it is Hammer House of Horrors.
Yeah, macabre.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's definitely something satanic about it because it's pure evil.
Yeah.
These people call themselves doctors. There's something deeply, deeply dark in their brain to be doing that kind of thing. They cannot believe they're doing good. So yeah. in that respect, they're doing bad.
Yeah.
So where's the Hippocratic Oath? It's their hypocritical oath. These people will end up in prison one day, I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I think there'll be one case where, I don't know, maybe a doctor's not gone through the whole process with the, you know, we get into this consent thing. And these doctors are all lying to these children and the parents, saying that this is just, everything will be fine dandy, you know, when they wake up and all the stitches are healed, everything will be all right. Well, we know that's not true. Mm-hmm. They're going to be on drugs for the rest of their life. They're going to have medical complications for the rest of their life. So they're lying blatantly to these people. And it just takes one brave attorney to take them on and one judge with some semblance of conscience to do something about it.
I've read about these
parents that want to do something about it.
Well, Neil, I hope so. I mean, I think that these will be isolated cases. I was listening to something, I think I'm going to post a short about this, well, not about this, but about the Brownstone Institute that Petra Buskins, I did a real history with her a couple of months ago, and she came to the U.S. from Australia and participated in this panel, you know, the dissidents. And she was on this panel and a doctor was saying the medical profession, see, what he actually said was science is broken. It's just completely broken. And I mean, I think we all knew that, but it is interesting to hear a doctor say that. He said, when you get into consensus medicine and consensus science, that means that curiosity is dead and therefore science is dead. And so what we're watching with these reassignment surgeries is just there. I mean, you're right. What is in them that is doing this? But this is not science and it's not medicine.
It's the island of Dr. Moreau. Steroids, you know,
from the freedom of speech, which we also don't have, but from the freedom of speech perspective, it's okay to show these because it's upside down world. So it's okay to show the surgeries. That is good, but it is not okay to be critical of them.
I wonder if, like an ordinary doctor or surgeon, just, you know, working the hospital as they do in emergencies or whatever, I wonder if one of them would ever make a video of trying to put this right, and whether that be allowed on YouTube or not. Actually, trying to do something to help this poor child who's been butchered.
I don't know. I haven't seen any doctors graphically addressing this. What I've seen are lay people or people themselves that have had the experience. That is something that I found not too long ago is a trans person's story of their nightmare.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Yeah, and they have to wear a catheter. They cannot go to the bathroom normally. That means that they're wearing a bag attached to them forever.
For life, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if I sent you. I don't think I did. There was one. I sent you. No, I didn't. There was a little video about this transgender thing, and it was a man turned into a boy turned into a girl, supposedly, and having to use this thing called a dilator, which just looked like a fake penis, and she had to increase the size of it over time to keep open, as it were, for the rest of her life, the rest of his life, should I say. And putting it across as if it was a good thing.
Yes.
Now, how can that be a good thing for anybody?
Well, this is definitely, to me, it is straight up evil.
It's just sick.
Yeah.
You know, and as I say, how the problem is, once the parents have done this to their child, it's very hard to see them walking back on it and saying, oh, I made a mistake, because it's too late.
No.
There's nothing you can do about it.
No.
You can't go back on it and say, oh, can you stitch that part back on? No, that doesn't work. But again, that's what they're being told. This could be put right if you don't like it. Well, that's a blatant lie.
Yeah.
You know, that's I don't know what the term is. There's a term for it, but it can't be consensual if somebody's lying to you and telling you that kind of thing. They may as well tell you, you know, you can chop your arm off and another one will grow back later. It's the same thing.
That's interesting. I may come back to the point of a chopped off arm, but Neil, are you aware, what is the youngest age of a person undergoing this reassignment surgery that you're aware of? Because I'm not aware of it actually happening on children.
Surgery. I'm not sure there's surgery, but I know they're talking about giving puberty blockers to six-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, why would you give puberty blockers to a six-year-old? They're nowhere near puberty.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, the surgeries, I don't know. How I don't even understand how they can do these surgeries when the person's body's not even fully developed yet. Because if you cut bits off, then there's still going to be something in there. Your growth hormones and all the rest of it that are going on, still trying to produce what they're supposed to produce.
Well, and it's also, I mean, that, you know, the body coming into maturity is one thing, but the brain, I think there's a different growth rate there, that young men's brains take a little bit longer to develop, but I think we're looking at the age of 25, and a girl might get there sooner, a woman might arrive at that point a little bit sooner, but you're in your 20s and your brain is still developing, which means that you're still growing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this. I'm sure they're doing this on people at the age of consent, which in most places would be 18.
Well, that's coming with, 16 in the UK. I think Germany's 12.
Really?
Yeah. They're trying to make that EU-wide. So is that part of it? Is that part of it? So they can say, well, if you're 12, you can consent.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to do it with the shots, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Children didn't have to tell their parents. Well, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing with the gender thing. They don't have to tell their parents if they're using a different gender at school.
Yeah, this, I just looked this up here. It said, this is from 2022. It said the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. What a joke.
I mean,
we know about WPATH. We've covered WPATH before, but it said hormones could be started at age 14, 2 years earlier than the group's previous advice, and some surgeries done at 15 or 17, a year or so earlier than previous guidance.
So they want to take it back.
The group acknowledged potential risks, but said it's unethical and harmful to withhold early treatment.
I mean, everything's backwards.
Yeah, it's truly.
There was a study done. It's 95% of these children change their minds if they're just left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that unethical?
Mm.
That's the ethical thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And the other 5% needs some mental health treatment. That's it.
Now, again, but what we're looking at really here is it's just an agenda.
Yeah.
It's just an agenda. And when you said that earlier that maybe some lawyer's going to, you know, somebody will be punished for this. The only thing that I can think as a positive outcome is what Bezmenov was describing when he said how these people are used.
Mm-hmm.
So he outlined certain groups, but let's just say disaffected, rebellious, whatever they are. I mean, I don't remember what he said back in the 80s who the groups were. It was probably feminists and homosexuals. But let's just say that right now in today's world, the biggest group that is being used is identity, gender identity.
The Rainbow Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm doing these markets. I see quite a few of them walking about with their rainbow flip-flops on and all this kind of thing. And I just think, do these people really understand what they're involved in? They clearly don't.
No.
Because a lot of them aren't, I wouldn't imagine, gay or lesbian or whatever. They're just being supportive of this rubbish. Even the adults, they're walking about with a little rainbow badge on and things like that. And you think, well, what's going on in their mind? What are they thinking of? Because you're talking about people in their 40s, 50s, you know, supporting this stuff. And if they were to think back to what their parents would have thought about it, you know, if they'd gone to their parents when they were children 50 years ago or 40 years ago and said, oh, you know, no, Mum, I want to be a boy. You've got to slap around the head to, you know, get your act together. You know? They wouldn't have entertained it at all.
No.
And they certainly wouldn't have tolerated it if somebody tried to push on their child.
But now it's very, you know, we're talking to each other and so we're preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
But I have enough interactions or hear from people who have interactions with not awake people. And I think the general feeling amongst polite society is that we need to be accepting of this, and to speak out against it is hateful. And I can give countless examples of professional classes and elderly people and younger people. I mean, it's across the board. I myself have had this conversation with someone who was 25, someone who was 45. I've heard it from people who have, you know, just made an offhand comment and had their 85-year-old mother just attack them for being hateful.
Yeah. They haven't even defined what that means, by the way.
Hateful.
I've never seen any country in the world bringing in the hate speech laws. They haven't defined what hate is.
No.
So how can you be hateful if there's no definition for it?
What's going on? Have you kept an eye on Ireland's legislation?
Not really. I've been kind of busy, but I did see something in Australia. This is kind of going into the digital ID. But Australia is really pushing for that. And they're trying to say that, you know, children under 16 won't be allowed onto social media without digital ID to prove their age. And they were having this, one of these committees about it. And one of the guys says, well, if under 16s have to prove that they're, if they can't prove they're under 16 with a digital ID, that means people who are 16 and over have to have a digital ID to prove that they're over the right age to be on social media. Because the person that was pushing it was saying, oh, no, it's not mandatory. It's not mandatory. But of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, it's not mandatory. Just stay off social media. That's the answer. If that's what they want to use it for, or that's the Trojan horse to get you a digital ID, is, you won't be allowed on social media without one. Well, fine. Mm-hmm. Don't go on it. Simple solution.
Yeah.
Simple solutions.
Yeah, it would be. And you know that there will be lots and lots of people, well-meaning, who will think this is a good idea and they'll bring you some bullying. Yeah.
It's to protect your children while you've got these quack doctors butchering them. That's okay, though. You've got to accept that. You can't accept somebody might have a different opinion to you. But you've got to accept that some people won't have their genitals cut off, apparently. we're living in an insane culture.
Yeah.
If people could rationalise what they're hearing at all, they'd come to the conclusion that it's all nonsense. But they don't seem capable of it.
No,
even sitting down and have a conversation, they can't do it.
No, they can't. And I think that this is, I kind of went into some territory on the latest Redux that was hesitated. And even once it came out of my mouth, I considered scrubbing it. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Because the whole point is we can't have these conversations because it might make people uncomfortable or it might have you labeled a hater. And I remember what Alan always said about words. First of all, he said that most words that come out of people's mouths are kind of meaningless and useless, but he was free speech all the way, that anything that is open for discussion, that there can be nothing that we can't discuss or have a conversation about. Sure. Because when you do that, when you shut down speech, either self-censoring or saying, well, I'm just afraid to go there, or by the ramifications of what comes out of your mouth, you don't have freedom. It's a really simple equation.
Yeah. Well, there's free speech. As you say exactly what you want, when you want, to who you want. If they take offense at it, then that's their issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not setting out to offend people. I'm not deliberately, going to people in the street and saying, oh, you're a transgender idiot, da da da. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not attacking anybody with the words. I'm stating what the facts are as I see them. Uh-huh. And if they want to have a discussion about it, I'm perfectly happy to have a discussion with them. But nothing to do with hate speech.
But we've built up this whole world, and it's, how revolutions work. It's slow. Everything is methodical. It's all planned out. So we've had a decade and a half of the introduction of safe spaces and microaggressions. And now we build into this idea of what we say is bullying. And I do understand that that goes on. I understand. So you're saying, I'm not just going to go out and say to somebody, you're a transgender or you're a freak or, you know, I'm not here to hurt somebody intentionally. I'm just saying what is. But there doesn't seem to be room for that. And that is pretty much internationally. That's around the world. There's not a place where you can have an open conversation about what you think.
Well, I mean, if you come across a transgender who just happens to be Jewish, you're screwed, aren't you? You can't talk about any of them. That'd be anti-Semitic. You've had your genitals cut off. How's that going for you? You're anti-Semitic. You know, or transphobic. I mean, again, irrational fear of a trans person. People don't understand what words mean. They don't understand what a phobia is.
No,
or homophobic, transphobic, whatever it may be. You know.
That's it.
Yeah, you can have an irrational fear of, I don't know, walking on the cracks of the pavement, say. You know, something like that. That's something you've got to go over. But you can't have an irrational fear of something which is deeply concerning to you in terms of what it could do to your children. You know, and it's not a fear, it's a concern. There's a big difference.
That's right.
If you're scared of something, you wouldn't talk about it. These people that go into these school meeting boards and read these books out to these people and they're told to shut up because that's against the law. They're not transphobic. They're just stating the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not doing it out of a sense of fear of people who believe they can be one gender or the other. And talking about that, Ireland just passed a bill to affirm that there are 72 genders. 72, right?
I thought 72 was the number of the names of God in Judaism, but...
Is it? Perhaps it is. I don't know. But there's 70 out anyway. But
you can't say any of them.
Well, how are you... again, how are you not supposed to offend somebody? You have 72 choices. I mean, which... I bet, you know, if you ask one of these people, can you name the 72 genders? That's it. And say to them, I know two of them, so I'll save you the time. There's only 70 you've got to remember. Can you just write them down for me? Let's see how far they get. As I said before, if you go to one of these quack doctors and say, doctor, I want to change my gender, how many choices are you going to get? One. That's it. They don't say you can be a giraffe if you want. You know, we can stretch your neck and, you know, stitch a couple of legs on you, paint you a few stripes and spots. And
Neil, don't give these people any ideas.
Well, I hear wild animals are adverse to rainbows, so you know, might be a good thing. Get rid of those rainbow things.
Well, you know, the sad truth is that Bezmenov is right. This is how revolutions work, and revolutionaries are dispensed of once this phase of the revolution is over.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul put reference to that in the video as well, because it's all part of eugenics too, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Basically castrating the males and the females. That'll do it.
Yeah. Well, shall we switch to, we've got a few things that you sent me, and we can switch topics. It's shocking. The science shock. The UK Met Office is inventing temperature data from 100 non-existent stations. I mean, the Met Office has been up to its eyeballs in controversy and forever.
They were only fudging the data by putting these temperature monitors beside, you know, airport runways and things like this, and right in the middle of, you know, concrete cities where there was a heat trap and all this kind of thing. But now they're just making up figures from places that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. How has nobody been done for fraud here?
I know.
because this is blatant lying, and they're obviously being paid to do this, and they're just making it all up.
No, the putting the thermometers on airport runways and, you know, near concrete roads and stuff, I had an actual personal experience of that because I've heard it and I'm like, well, yeah, that would definitely drive the temperature up. But I had an experience just last week of how much it would do that. I was walking in the late afternoon with my brother and it was headed towards dusk, but there was still some sun hitting a building that we walked by. And this was a two-story building. It wasn't huge and there was a sidewalk that went in front of it. And we came around the corner and the street was shady. And I stepped up onto the grass before the sidewalk. So what I'm describing, it's, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it well, but what I was about 12 feet away from the wall of this building that was two stories high and about 50 feet in width, so not very big. And Neil, when I stepped up onto the grass and got 10 feet from the wall of that building, I felt like I had walked into an oven on high heat.
Yeah. Well,
that's one little building in one little town. And I said to my brother, oh my goodness, get up here and feel this. You know, he walked up there and he said, oh wow, it's like walking in an oven.
Yeah. I went to Walmart one day, and you know how for listeners in the UK or abroad, the parking lots here are all done at angles. Like in the UK, they're all straight head, you know, front to front or whatever. But the ones here are at angles. So it tends to be that the exhaust or muffler, call it what you will, is always pointing towards the actual part of the road that you've just driven up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I came out the store, which obviously has got AC. I come out, it was about 90 degrees, normal kind of Florida weather. But then I walked right in the middle of the road between these two rows of parked cars, and the heat must have gone up at least 10 degrees,
mm-hmm.
just with the radiant heat of the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the concrete.
Yes.
You know, it was radiating off the vehicles, and this is where they're taking temperatures from.
Yeah. So it's intentionally, it's by design, deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's not good enough. They just have to get the temperatures from places that don't even exist.
Yeah. Well, the Met Office is funded by the British taxpayer. This is fraud.
Yeah.
Blatant fraud. And who's going to be held responsible for it? Nobody. Nobody.
Now, it says shocking evidence has emerged that points to the UK Met Office inventing temperature data from over 100 non-existent weather stations. The explosive allegations have been made by citizen journalist Ray Sanders and sent to the new Labour Science Minister, Peter Kyle, MP. Following a number of Freedom of Information requests to the Met Office and diligent field work visiting individual stations, Sanders has discovered that 103 stations out of 302 sites, so fully a third, more than a third, are supplying temperature averages, and the stations do not exist.
Well, one of them was closed in 1986, so that's how long they've been using it for. 1986.
Yeah.
38 years. And how long have we been hearing about global warming? Oh, 40, 50 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they close these monitoring stations, do you think? Because they're not giving them the information they wanted.
That's right.
So they're just making it up instead. But as I say, this is taxpayer funded. Why is there not a serious government inquiry into this? Because, like everything else, it's an agenda and they don't want an inquiry into that.
Yeah,
you know, we've got to have net zero, right?
That's right. It's a must be. It's very interesting to see this.
We'll talk about that, and we can go on to farming, because I just sent you stuff this morning about that, and we've got a former Labour political advisor, John turning. And there's a little clip on GB News, who, of course, they're not too trusted either. But one quote from it is, "We can do the do to the farmers what Thatcher did to the miners. It's an industry we could do without. We don't need small farmers." Right? And then you've got a farmer protest going on. I'm not sure. It's in England somewhere. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're carrying Union Jacks because they're British farmers, right? They want to supply Britain with foods, right? And they've got this rent-a-mob, communist sympathisers, calling them all Nazis for trying to save small farms.
Wow.
With bullhorns on the streets, a counter-protest.
Ah.
I mean, these people are out of their minds. I mean, what are they going to say when they go to the store and there's nothing there? Except, you know, genetically modified junk food. You know, these are the same people who go to farmers' markets. these middle upper class idiots. You know, they go to farmers' markets and they want to buy the best of veg, but they don't want British farmers making it.
You are looking at a mindless mob. Yeah. You know, they're organized from the top and they go out and protest whatever they're told to protest. And I think it's a good reminder, something that Alan has said before, like if you're right, if you are in possession of truth on something, if you're in the truth, it doesn't matter if you're a minority of one. This is, and so you can't really look for consensus on this, but he would point out that these people who call you crazy for your quaint ideas that they don't understand, what you're looking at is insanity. So we break it down and we talk about different things, whether it's the identity portion of it or it's the mob that goes out and, you know, calls a British farmer a Nazi. You're looking at people who are not rational, they're not reasonable, and they are not anywhere, they're not even in close proximity to reality.
It's the same mindset of radical vegetarians or vegans, you know, who'll be out there protesting in their, you know, the best leather shoes and stuff like that, you know. And you'll say to them, "What are your shoes made of?" "Leather." I said, "Well, yeah, you know what? They had to kill an animal to get them." You know, it's not just the meat they're talking about, you know. Or some of them will say, "Oh, they're made of plastic." I thought, "Oh, I thought you were against oil." You're wearing plastic shoes. So you can get them always, can't you?
You touch on something there that just crossed my mind last night. I don't know why this popped into my head. I was putting some lip balm on, and this was made by a listener, actually Faith in Canada, who taught herself, and she's got it in a really neat tube, but it's all really good, healthy stuff that you're putting on your lips. And as I was doing that, I remembered when I was quite young, you basically had a couple of choices, which were chapstick, which, you know, heaven knows I haven't looked at the ingredients on that in years, but you had chapstick and you had Vaseline. And Vaseline is also called petroleum jelly.
Yeah.
And I thought, and Vaseline, in addition to putting it on your lips as a kind of balm or chapstick kind of thing, it was put on, I'm sure that I had it put on me by my mother as a, you know, baby's bottom diaper rash remedy. And I just thought to myself, Neil, where were people's minds all of those years ago who heard petroleum jelly and thought that that was a good thing to put on their baby's bottom?
Yeah. Does it say on the chapstick or the Vaseline bottle there, "Do not smoke near this product"? Or anything?
It might.
"Do not expose to naked flame." Yeah. I hope your baby doesn't smoke. Yeah. While they were heavily promoting cigarettes at the same time, of course.
So unfortunately, and you know, this is something else. I'm not sure that I really want to get into politics too heavily here, but you've got Trump who's making his appointments and so forth of who's going to do the border and who's going to do this and that. And he's made a couple of announcements lately, and one of them has to do with deporting and how he's going to get in there and start deporting all the illegal aliens. But another thing that I heard him say was, you know, as soon as I get in, I'm going to reverse this whole transgender thing. This isn't going to be going on anymore. Well, frankly, I don't know how he could do that even with executive decree, but the people around him now, this term I almost hate to use, but MAHA. So MAHA, and you know, there's MAGA.
Make America.
Yeah, make America healthy again.
Oh yeah, what, RFK Jr. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so it's like, yes, I'm all in favor of there not being fluoride in the water. And this is really good that if people know the dangers of this, but where is anyone who is saying, oh, hey there, Mr. Man, what were you doing with Operation Warp Speed? Mm-hmm. Why are you still standing behind these experimental injections? If we're going to make, in other words, what? All of the fallout, the toxicity, the turbo cancers and everything is what, a result of seed oils or fluoride in the water? You see where I'm going? It's
I mean, if you want to make America healthy again, you probably have to take most of the products off the shelves in Walmart.
Exactly.
Where do you start? Where do you end? I mean, you'd have to do it over time, obviously, because people starve to death otherwise. Maybe that's what I try to do in Britain, make everybody healthy again by killing them. I don't know. But as we say, we're in an upside-down world. That's the solution to everything, isn't it? Do the opposite.
Absolutely.
You'd have to start with, actually, talking about fluoride, they're going to reintroduce it to Britain.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, how are the public not up in arms about it? What is wrong with them? It's not in the water for a reason in a lot of places. And we're not different. We don't have different physiology. You know, to other human beings, fluoride's still bad for you. Doesn't matter what country you're in. But no, they're going to reintroduce it to Britain. And the first person to introduce it, we talked about it earlier, Margaret Thatcher, who was a chemist. She knew exactly what the harm it was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are again. We've got Labour going to bring it in now.
Well, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever someone wrote in to me not long ago and said, just remember that for your whole lifetime, big things have been going on. And that's a good thing to, you know, I mean, we're living through an ancient agenda. And so there was one thing going back to Alan again, you know, he said, we're laboratory rats, and when we get caught up in these little things, and I'm not saying that gender reassignment or fluoride in the water is a little thing, but it's the laboratory rat saying, what are they doing to us today?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that big picture thing of, no, we're run by monsters.
Well, it's the same as Alan would say as well. You know, they give you two or three crises to deal with, and you can't do it.
That's right.
More than two or three crises, you're focused on one or the other at the same time, and your head's all messed up, and you're not really seeing everything that's going on around it. But just talking about Trump, he selected this woman called Elise Stefanik to be his UN ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a little video there, and she comes across as just a racist bigot. And you talk about hate speech, well, she's a prime candidate.
I saw that you sent that, but I haven't had time to watch it yet. So what was she saying?
She's talking about, we're going to kill all the Hamas people, da, 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 all this kind of stuff. That's supposed to be a diplomat, right? And sticking on that, in the UN, you've got this guy walking up. There's an exhibition in the UN of pictures done by children who, you know, they want peace in Palestine and all this kind of thing. And he's come across and said, this is outrageous. This is outrageous. I'm going to apply to the UN General Assembly to have this exhibit removed immediately because they're being hypocritical. Yeah, they are being hypocritical because they're condoning genocide, and at the same time they've got an exhibition of art by young children asking for peace. Right, but mm-hmm. this Israeli guy wants this removed. But who's mm-hmm. the hypocrite?
Mm-hmm.
At least these children are still alive.
Yeah.
To do these paintings, unlike the ones in Gaza.
You sent me an article a couple of weeks ago. I have it up here right now. Paul Craig Roberts, he was an economics advisor going back to Reagan. And,
I interviewed him.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't write.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you sent an article from October 27 called Satan's Chosen People. Mm-hmm. And he shows a picture there of a major attack on Gaza's last functioning hospital.
Yep.
He said the attack on the Kamal Adwan Hospital located in Beit Lahia, northwest of Jabalia, sorry for slaughtering this, but was launched around 2 a.m. local time Friday. This is the 27th of October, shortly after a World Health Organization delegation left the hospital. Mm-hmm. So think about that. They would have had to know that the WHO was there, so they have this mm-hmm. attack after they leave. It began with airstrikes targeting the hospital and its courtyards, including the medical oxygen generator, said the director of health ministry in Gaza. The bombing led to the death of children inside the hospital and wounded medical staff. Israeli troops then raided the hospital around 2 hours later, calling on all patients, including people in intensive care, to gather in the courtyard. Where is the law? Which law in the world allows for a hospital to be directly targeted? Israel gets away with mass murder of civilians and genocide of a people and a country. For decades, Israel has used the Holocaust narrative to portray Jews as victims, not as victimizers. Israel's theft of Palestine and murder of the inhabitants is presented as self-defense. Those who challenge Israel's right to steal a country and murder its inhabitants are ruined by Israel's propaganda agents in the Western world, the media of which never dares utter one critical word against Israel.
Well, just a point on that. You cannot use the excuse of self-defense when you're an occupying force. If you're occupying a country, the only people who have the right to self-defense are the people you're occupying. You don't have that right under law because you're an offensive force.
Mm-hmm.
So, that excuse is invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
The world's governments do not break diplomatic relations with the Zionist state. The Russian government continues to permit Israel to attack Russia's allies in Syria and Iran. This acceptance of unspeakable Israeli evil, with Palestinian children having to undergo amputations without anesthetics, with adults having to eat grass where it can be found in order to have anything in their stomachs, where the scant water supply is polluted and every adult and child are sick, where Israel and the United States are intentionally starving Palestinians to death, and the American Christian Zionists support this.
Again,
they also are in Satan's grasp and serve as his agents.
Yeah, I saw a term earlier on, I can't remember, I was reading something, and it said Christian Jews. Well, there's no such thing as a Christian Jew.
Well, they're
How
actually
can you be?
yeah, because I mean, we're never clear about are you born this way? Your mother is, therefore, so it's a racial thing or it's a religion. Because of course, a person who was born Jewish can convert to Christianity, and they can think of themselves as ethnically Jewish and religiously Christian. So I don't necessarily see the disconnect there, although, you know.
Judaism is a religion. It's not a race. So how can you be anti-Semitic? at all?
Well, because that is a question that hasn't been resolved in many, many people's minds, including many Jewish people. Mm-hmm. It's definitely an identity of race in addition to the religious aspect of it. There's no doubt about it.
But there shouldn't be. There just shouldn't be. Because, that's used as an excuse. If you make it about race, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
And the other word for racist, of course, is anti-Semite. But 80%, I think it's 80 or 85% of the people that actually live in Israel have no connection to that area at all. They've no Semitic origins in their families. None. I mean, Netanyahu changed his name from Milikovsky or Milanowski. He's Polish. And most of his cabinet are from Eastern Europe. And even there's one from Ireland and Australia. These aren't from there. They've got no business calling themselves Semites. So how can you be anti-Semitic to them? I mean, if I criticise Netanyahu and he goes, oh, you're anti-Semitic, I'll say, well, no, you're Polish. So how can I be anti-Semitic if you're Polish? Maybe I'm anti-Polish, but I'm not anti-Semitic because you're not a Semite. Simple as that.
Well, unfortunately, these conversations get shut down immediately. And many, many people, I mean, lots of writers, the first one that comes to mind is Shlomo Sand. There's also Gilad Atzmon. There are a lot of people historically and contemporarily who raise these questions and want to have these conversations, and they get slapped with a label of self-hating Jew or, you know. So there's no, when if the dialogue is shut down, we can't talk about it because we're not looking at, we're looking at an agenda.
Well, the next line really says all in that article. Nothing is being done about evil. No government will stand up to it. The Muslims themselves will do nothing to stop the murder of their own kind. And they never have done.
Mm-hmm.
They've never done one thing to help Palestinians. So you know they're controlled. I mean, mm-hmm. if the Muslim nations wanted to rise up and say, we've had enough of this, Israel would be finished. Overnight. Because it doesn't matter the Samson option or whatever it is, if they're really going to do that or not. I mean, how can any country turn around to the world and say, you know, if Israel goes down, we're going to take all you guys with us?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the rest of the world go, no, we'll take you out first, I think, because you're a danger to the planet. I mean, if somebody threatens you with nuclear Armageddon in every major city, that's what they said. Every major capital city, they said, they are targeted with nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they don't have any, right? That's what we're told.
So he finishes, it's a good article, and it's just a couple more paragraphs that he said, in, quote, free democratic America, end quote, the universities replete with Jewish money prevent students from protesting the genocide of Palestine. The prostitute media, foreign policy pundits, and Western politicians deny there is a genocide, claiming that Israel is only exercising the right of self-protection. Brainwashed Americans indoctrinated in the belief that Muslims attacked America on 9/11 do not care how many Muslims Israel and America kill. It's not just Palestine that is destroyed. Iraq was destroyed. Libya was destroyed. The Muslim world did nothing, and no other part of the world did either. The American Secretary of State stood up before the United Nations and lied through his teeth about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, knowing that no such weapons existed. The moral conscience of the world has been stamped out, giving free rein to evil, so nothing is done to stop a genocide. It's not just the Americans who are guilty of supplying Israel the weapons and money. It is the entire world which does nothing in the face of satanic evil. The refusal of the world to confront evil will unleash evil on every country. None will escape the consequences. And this is very true. None of us escape the consequences.
If they do implement the Samson directive, then you're talking about world war. Pure and simple. And it'll be devastating. I'll put World War One and World War Two in there. That'll make it look like a picnic.
Yeah, so again, you know, just touching on the politics, which I don't like to touch on, but I'm going to, is you've got this whole MAHA and the idea, oh, this is great, we're going to equalize trade and, you know, take care of what is possibly the biggest problem in the U.S., which is the biggest problem all over the world, which is flooding it with illegal immigrants. And so this is an exciting thing. And yet, Donald Trump has said, I'm going to stamp out anti-Semitism when I get into office. So we're hearing from Trump that this is the biggest problem. And this is what people perceive, and they rightly perceive it. There's a whole host of problems that happen when your country loses border integrity. There's no doubt. But at the same time, he is saying, I'm going to stamp out anti-Semitism. So what is it? You know, and there he is. And I think that there the symbolism of having Musk come up kind of at the last minute to endorse him and be so visible is not lost on me, because he has been associated with free speech, and this is a doublethink. It's a complete disconnect. Well,
Musk has been touted as one of his advisors now.
Yes.
I mean, the guy, if you listen to that guy speaking, he's an idiot.
I know.
I don't think he's got a functioning brain that's anywhere near that level of power.
No, we're looking at a myth. It's just mythology. Yeah. But the symbolism of it is not lost on me, you know, that Mr. Free Speech is standing next to a man who is basically saying, I'm shutting it down. If it touches on Israel, if it's, you know, if it's what we deem to be anti-Semitic, it's getting shut down.
When they say make America great again, nobody's actually, stated when it was great before and where he wants to take it back to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And make America healthy again. Well, you've got a sick society.
Yeah.
The whole society's sick. What are you going to do about that?
Yep.
Then you've got these perverts walking up and down the street with their bare ass naked butts hanging out in front of children. You know, is he going to sort that out? You know, is he going to sort out the food supply issue? Is he going to sort out Big Pharma? All these things are making people sick. You know, we've got pornography. Is he going to sort that out? He could stop that overnight.
Yeah.
That could be shut down easily.
Yeah.
It's it's like Besmer said, it's immoral.
Yeah.
Do you think people want to work in that? Do you think people really enjoy the work doing that kind of thing? No.
It's unfortunately, Neil, what we're looking at is you and I are part of a really small minority of people who can muster some righteous indignation. And so many people are content to go along, accept it, and even celebrate it.
Yeah. I mean, just one final point on this Israeli thing. I sent you another article earlier in the week, or maybe just a couple of days ago. We all know how veterans in the US are treated. We've seen enough of them homeless on the side of the street with one leg missing and all that kind of thing, begging for money.
Mm-hmm.
And the same happens in Britain. But I would imagine if I'm a veteran and I see this, I'm going to be absolutely livid. And it's basically Americans, supposedly, I'll use that in inverted commas, Americans fighting in the IDF are now going to be entitled to a full American military pension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
That. Yeah.
Why? They're not. That would imply they're fighting for the US, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they are.
Well, I mean, they would think that they were. How many times have you seen the two standards, the two flags side by side? So, of course.
Oh, I mean, Netanyahu's got an American accent. that's a great Semite, right?
Yeah.
And this other, I mean, he's a brave guy speaking out. Professor Haim Breshith, I sent you that one. He was a professor and he was speaking out at a at a college campus or something. And he was talking about, you know, the evil that's been done in Israel in the name of, you know, Judaism, da 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 da. Jewish Israeli academic was arrested for this. This is in Britain. As Starmer's government's assault on anti-genocide speech continues. So, and they arrested him under the Terrorism Act for speaking out against genocide. And all he was doing was quoting things that were reported in the Israeli media. And commenting on it. He was arrested for a speech in which he factually slammed Israel for its colonialism, racism and violence, including the mass murder of civilians, including tens of thousands of children and 800 babies. I don't know where he got the figures from, but a Met Police spokeswoman, they know what a woman is, and the statement, the Squawk Box, claimed the forces engaged in a constant balancing act and that it was acting to prevent intimidation and serious disruption to communities. How is that acting to prevent? Who's intimidating anybody? As you say, you can't say anything. It's deemed as intimidation. Well, I've said it many times before. I'm offended every time a politician opens their mouth and lies to me. Where's my redress?
Yeah.
I'm offended. I'm offended by what I see on a daily basis going on in this world.
Well, there's one that I want to touch on before we wrap this up, and that is something that you sent me a couple of weeks ago about the death of Peter Lynch. Do you have that one up? Do you remember that?
I'll just go way back.
It's from October 23. Peter Lynch's death should be a warning to us all.
I remember it, yeah.
On the 19th of October 2024, Mr. Peter Lynch, 61, died in, I believe this is His Majesty's Prison, Moreland, HMP Moreland, near Doncaster. He was a husband of 36 years, a father to three grown children, and a grandfather to three. He was sentenced on the 22nd of August, 2024, for 2 years and 8 months for pleading guilty to violent disorder. Why should anyone care? Well, because Mr. Lynch was held as a political prisoner from that day on. He decided to make a placard and go along with many other concerned English people to the Holiday Inn Express, Rotherham, which had been holding asylum seekers, to make his feelings known about the increasing cronyism within the government and voice his opinions at the state of the nation. He was angry about the murder of three little girls in Southport on July the 29th, 2024, while they had been attending a Taylor Swift-themed dance workshop. Being a family man and concerned for the future of not only his own family, but the future of the way this country has changed so rapidly with an illegal immigration explosion over the last decade, he also named many other dodgy, self-serving institutes on his banner, which obviously made him a target to authority. He was vocal. He was upset with the police being in the pocket of these sinister players, but he never, not once, hurt anyone on that day. Regardless of that fact, he was treated like a dangerous criminal, was promptly arrested and held on exaggerated charges. Yeah. Mr. Lynch was told, I just skipped a paragraph there, but he was told by his legal counsel to plead guilty, which is usually looked at by the judge as a favorable thing. So you're complying, and it speeds up the process and saves money. This was a huge mistake, and the case is being judged by Jeremy Richardson, KC. Although the judge admitted that Mr. Lynch didn't attack anyone, he decided that this man was such a huge danger to the public, he sentenced him to 2 years and 8 months. While this same judge has been very lenient on child predators and actual violent offenders, his corrupt view and privileged position made him feel entitled to throw the book at this poor man. The UK legal system is there to be fair, but also just in how it dishes out penalties, while not being swayed by private individual beliefs. When was it ever there for that? So this is it. They believe that he committed suicide.
Yeah, you can't have private individual beliefs anymore. You get arrested for that as well.
Yeah.
If you're standing praying silently in the street.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, this guy, how can a judge come out with a sentence like that when the guy's been charged with being violent to people, and yet the judge says he wasn't violent to people? Mm-hmm. His next line should have been, therefore, he is not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But, took his own life. I doubt it.
Well, I mean, whether he did or didn't, he died in prison, and he shouldn't have been there.
Expressing an opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Well, that's where we're going, isn't it?
Yeah.
We put up against the wall and shot, as Bezmenov said.
Yeah.
Mind you might not have to waste a bullet on you, they'll find some other way. But he's branded as a far right thug. Well, thugs generally beat people up. But this guy didn't do anything of the sort.
No, this is language is the first, that's where the control is.
Mm-hmm.
So you call someone a hater, you say they're a thug, we're not very careful with our words anymore, and therefore they've become meaningless.
Yeah. So that's where we are, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, do we have any other pressing things?
I guess we've got a free speech theme going on. There was another one, von der Leyen, I think it was. Stated that free speech was akin to an infectious disease. EU President Ursula von der Leyen just joined the ranks of former Senator John Kerry and other globalist ghouls in declaring war on free speech by perversely proclaiming that the EU citizenry needs to be vaccinated against disinformation. Like every censor in history, she characterises her censorship programme as a means of expunging erroneous information and ideas from public discourse. By using the word disinformation, she implies that she and her clique are already the sole possessors of the truth about everything, and that everyone who has and shares heterodox ideas is necessarily in error. Her entire premise is false for the following reasons, blah, 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 and it goes on. Basically, was it the Australian or the New Zealand criminal that was in charge during COVID? Who said that we are the sole source of truth? I think it was the Australian one, was it?
Well, it could have been both, because yeah. That sounded like that's very similar to something that Ardern said.
Your only source of truth, I think so.
So I'll find that. I was looking at that not that long ago, but I can't remember the exact words. But yeah, it was. You know, and there's so many people that are on board with this, and you have to be, you can't make it a party issue, or it's one of those globalist must be's that they're all guilty of, because you've got, what's his face? John Kerry was at a World Economic Forum event. Do you remember that one? It was about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, where he just hammered how inconvenient free speech was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
it's funny. These people have always got free speech.
Oh, sure.
They can say what they want, and you can't argue back. I mean, it's just hypocrisy again, isn't it?
Some are more equal than others.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, listen, do you think it's going to be possible to record over the holiday when you're working?
I'm not sure. I think we might have to skip December. Okay. Because I'm doing from the 30th of November, I get 4 Saturdays, so I'll be the 30th, the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, so I'll be doing 6 days. I've got a market on the 8th, so I'll be doing 40 days in a row or something.
Why don't we say, if you think that we can talk in January, let's say
I'll tell you what, between Christmas and New Year, I'm not quite sure what day I finish, but it would be at the very latest the 27th. So any time after that, I guess.
Okay.
The Monday the 30th.
I'll have to look.
Your view.
Yeah.
Or the 31st.
I'll have to look and see what I've got. But I'm sure even if we do, you know, a short, I'm sure we can have a short year-end review and do that. So let's plan on it. And I will, I have already in my mind included We Love Eugenics, and that'll be part of this as well. So, yeah.
Well, I'll get I need to do a Jack talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Again, I'm not sure if I'll be able to get them done because I generally take them out at first light, and obviously it's going to get darker as the month goes on. But I don't know if I'll be able to take Jack out for his walk, so because I've got to go to work. So I'm not quite sure.
Well, yeah, things will change. So I have us down definitely as doing something on the 9th of January. And, okay, so next week, everybody, I want to let you know that I'll be doing a real history again with Nick Hayes from Hayes Reviews. And he read or is reading Brave New World for the first time, and I read it again. And so we're going to talk Brave New World, which is where we are, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Neil, take care, and I will talk to you end of year or early in the new year.
The new one. Yep. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We love you, Jennings. We love eugenics. We love eugenics. 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 Eugenics.